Thank you again for this day and good singing this morning for these people coming this way and giving their time, Lord. That's the greatest commodity we have. And again, we thank you. And as they give their time, may it not be wasted as we open this precious book, the Holy Word of God. Father, we know we can't understand it without your help. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus promised. And we know he came on the day of Pentecost to indwell those who trust Christ as Savior until God gets us home. And open this precious book, asking to help ye of the day anoint what's said, that we may understand a little bit more about our Christian journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, take your Bible and turn, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to quickly read a lot of scripture to start with and then give the title at the last verse that I read. And sometimes talking about a few weeks ago. If you understand, let me just ask this. Do you understand who you are if you're saved? Do you know what took place the day you asked Christ to come into your heart? You say, oh, yeah, I believe I was believing the Lord. I believe I was saved. But is it more than words? Is it something you studied to understand the transaction that took place and what's going on in you now? There's a dual battle in you now since you're born into the family of God. And these verses should clear that up today, I believe. As we look at first, let's look at some things that takes place after we get saved that God has said, and then we'll look at how that comes about through the subject. Notice in verse 9, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Aren't you glad of that verse? I mean, we go through a lot of things in this life, and we're learning a lot of things, and we have capability to learn a lot of things we don't learn simply we don't take the time to do it. But at the same time, there's a better place than this. And then he tells us, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's what we get. We're born in physical flesh. We have a body. We have a soul. And we have a spirit that's dead before God, but it's alive. We can commune among each other and converse with each other. And from spirit to man to spirit to man, we can give advice on a lot of things. But that doesn't mean we have awakened unto God. He said, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So the fact is, if we're going to ever understand what God has said about what we are and who we are in him, we're going to have to go to the source. And I'm glad God wrote a book, ladies and gentlemen, called the Holy Bible. I'm glad not only did he write it, but he also saw that we got it in our own language. I'm glad that he preserved that book down through the years, that I'd open it right now. And I believe what I'm reading is the absolute word of God. And I believe with all my heart that what we read is exactly what God wants us to see if we study this book from Genesis to Revelation. To help us grow, that we may prepare while we're here for things not only here, but for eternity. Now he said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. I mean, why should he give us the spirit of the world? We already have that, just by being physically. So he's laying a parallel here. He's not giving us the spirit of the world. We had that when born. We got that with Adam's nature. But on the other hand, notice he said that, but we don't receive the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Look at me just a minute. God said that he did this so we might know freely the things that God has given to us. So I believe that God wants us to understand who he is. I believe he wants us to understand what he's doing. And I believe he wants us to understand something the world don't understand. He does exist. And we can see him by faith, the channel of faith. But that, you've heard me say hundreds of times, faith has had a subject. And so we look to the channels of faith, and this word of God is where God reveals by his spirit who he is. Now watch. He said, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, that's intellectual and humanism, but where the Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual, we could say things. And then he comes back and said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, or the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritual discerned. Now, if you look in John, 1 John chapter 1, you'll see that John gives the information and says in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and the one that loveth him that begetteth, loveth him also that is begotten. And then notice he of him. Verse 4 and 5 said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Isn't it amazing? He says, we have the capability now of being born to overcome the world. The world is dragging us down every week. Everyone in here has been dragged down to some degree by this world. And yet God says we have the potential to have victory over the world, which is that which we live in. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you look in John chapter 3, verse 5, on the new birth, and I just quote that to you, Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm laying a parallel now to show you what I'm coming to the subject in just a moment. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and life. No man comes, if you believe in me, thou shalt never die by trusting him. I am the resurrection and life. Therefore, those who believe in him shall never die, but end up being with the Lord forever, in so many words, paraphrasing that. Now, when I get to the Romans chapter 8, I want you to turn with that with me just a minute, and it'll give us another capstone, I think. Look in Romans chapter 8, I want you to look in verse 11. The Apostle Paul says this, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal spirits, now, your mortal bodies. Now notice, he said, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, how does the Spirit of God dwell in us? By receiving Christ as Savior. It's a down payment that God gave to every individual who would reach out by faith and trust Christ. We hear that over and over, but we have to be reminded lest we forget. And in turn, he's going further, and he said that dwelling, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That is, now since he's moved in, this new person has moved in, we have power to bring the body into line because the spirit of man has been quickened. You have to quicken who trespasses in sin, Ephesians 2, verse 1, 2 verses. And therefore, he's made us alive unto God. And notice he said, has quickened your mortal bodies by his spirit that what? Dwelleth in you. So I say to you, just a moment, a person saved has the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God. Amen? How do you get the Spirit of God? Being saved. Amen? This verse says a lot to us about who we are and what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do modify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And said forth here, now that we have received Christ, now we have the Spirit of God, now we're a new creation, we're not debtor to this flesh anymore. Isn't it amazing? We pay debt to it all the time, we feel like. It drains us. It causes us to disobey God. It causes us to be many things. It causes us to think things. It causes a lot of things. But we're not debtors to this flesh anymore. We have a potential as we fill our debtness to God, which we can never pay for our salvation, but he deserves that we are to serve him and serve him more with the abundant life that he gives to us after we become Christ as our personal Savior. Now look with me in Ephesians 3, and I'll give you the title of the message. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read down a few verses. And look with me about 13 down to verse 19. Watch what Paul says. Now here comes the subject. And you see what I've just read to you, who you are, if you're saved, if you're not, trusting Christ is the only way you can be that way. Notice he said, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Amazing. Paul said, don't worry about what's happened to me, because my trouble, my trials is for your glory. Isn't that an amazing thing? He said to the church at Corinth, what God has allowed me to go through is for your glory. Could it possible sometimes God let us go through things that give God glory and help someone else to see some things they would not seen otherwise? I think so. Notice, he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, watch this phrase now, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, how? In the inner man. Now we come up with the term. What is going on in us when we trust Christ as Savior? There's a new creation. It's called the inner man. We could call it the inward man. He's controlled by the Holy Spirit of God that moved in us the day we got saved. And then he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Watch. That Christ dwells in our heart now by the world. Say, oh, this thing of being saved, it just don't make sense. It does if you understand. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Faith, Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. We don't see the spiritual world, but we do see it through eyes of faith. What backs that up? This precious book, which God said he cannot lie. And he goes on and he says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And he said, I want to speak to you understanding the inner man. Now, if you're saved, there's a new creation in you referred to by Paul as the inner man. We come into this world, we know who we are physically. You hear me use that a lot, because I can't find a better symbol of anything than physical life, and understanding that spiritual life is above that. But at the same time, we come into this world as a physical being. In turn, we're dead spiritually before God, and therefore, man knows there's a God, but he can't figure out who he is, so he creates his own God. Man, it's enough sense to know that as he is made above everything else that God made other than the angels, and certain angels don't have what we have to reproduce, we're an image of God's amazing thing. And yet he made us in his image, in turn down through the year through procreation from Adam. And he's right away in our age. We are privileged to live this side of Calvary, folks, not on the other side when they had to go through all the ritual of the tabernacle and the temple like the Jews did. We live on this side of Calvary, and now we have been born into the family of God, if we have. Then the Spirit comes in, and there's an inner man now that is developing, just like we started developing when we were born physically. And he tells us that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all saints with his breadth, length, and depth, and height. He's talking about that love, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness, notice, of God. Understand the inner man. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says this: we are partakers of the divine nature of God when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 tells us it is that divine nature that we see through faith, because faith is the subject of things hoped for, ever things not seen. You see, what God is talking about, a spiritual world, the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us begin to understand that, because we have a true book about it. The world looks at a spiritual world and fantasizes about it. They make all, hey, there's movies and books and everything else written about the physical world. They have no facts about it, because only God can give the true facts about the spiritual world. And we have a book that God gave us to read about what's beyond the dimensions of time into that spiritual world. So John chapter 8 verse 32, Jesus said this when he was here: you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who is the truth to start with? Jesus Christ. And what is the truth about him? This book right here. To know more about this truth is to know more about him. That's why, folks, you need to have some daily diet on it. Or at least spend some time every week in this book asking God to reveal to you, if you're saved, what it is he wants you to see in the written of it. You can start anywhere and start reading. Especially, I read the book of Psalms. I'm reading the book of Psalms now, or in the morning, as I go through, because I see characters, and God is talking about certain things that's happened in their lives that I can identify even now in the age of grace in 2018. So God wants to manifest himself in our lives today. I really believe that. Most people live from the outside in rather than from the inside out. But true peace is within us, and it is not of the world. There is no peace in this world outside. That's the reason Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, could say, Father, forgive them, because he had a peace inside that even in the dying hour, he saw things different than those around him saw. And by the way, folks, so will God do the same for you and I. God's Spirit brings peace to the heart. And when you see that, this is why we become comfortable in our own skin sometimes, when we are strengthened in our inner man and we wonder what happened. A child of God has a source to go to. When we've hit something side track somehow or another by any kind of calamity, it throws us off for a minute. We're not even killed right then. But we know where our source is. And I challenge you, if you go to this book and ask God to help you start reading and looking and get an answer because you've been side swiped with something, God's Holy Spirit living in you will lead you to something that will give you a peace that you won't even understand yourself. But it'll pass understanding. That's what he tells us. It gives us a passive understanding. And that fact is this: I don't understand it, Lord, but right now I do understand. I can trust you. And that's what we see about this inner man as he develops. That's the reason we need to develop. That's where we need to be, where he's the Word of God's taught. You see, anything outwardly can move us emotionally. Music and other things can move us emotionally. But it's only the Word of God can move inside out, because it settles in our heart. And therefore, when the Word of God is taught and we're touched with that, then suddenly you learn to love the Word of God. One thing is for God wrote this book, and there's a hunger if you get in it and begin to see God in the inner man, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. There'll be a hunger about this book. You'll be running to it ever for everything you face in this life, because you know that God has the answer somewhere to help you. But you know, Satan has so suppressed this book, like we see in First Romans chapter 1. He suppressed it so much and put it down that it can't do or is not doing what it's capable of doing if instead of suppressing it, it's trying our best to lift it up and ask God to help us see what we need to see. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19, we see that there's a spirit in the inner man that's strengthened by faith that which dwells in us, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. To strengthen the inner man by God's Spirit will result in faith, and then it says in verse 17, result in love. It amazes me that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you've been rooted and grounded in love. Isn't that amazing? In love. This is the best place in the world to find what love is described about when it comes to individuals in life. So the question is, what is the problem with depending on outside things to bring us peace and joy? Because anything that comes outside first is temporary. It's temporary. Isn't it an amazing thing? Before I was saved, I was religious in the church doing a lot of things. But since God saved me September 27, 1959, I've never looked for another Savior. I never had, but I never had no use to. But some people are looking all the time. Maybe this is not in it. It's a fact that if you understand, you won't know about God unless you have this book. And the Holy Spirit will have to use that to be given information and draw us to when we get saved, then we won't know about life in Him without this book. And God gave us the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to us, if we'll stay in this book, who we are and what we're doing in this side of eternity. And so here, why is living from the outside better than from the in? Why is living from the inside better than living on the outside in? When God strengthens our inner man, and that's what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians, when He strengthens our inner man, a great change takes place while we live in here on how we live, how we look at ourselves, and how we look at others. We pray a lot, change that person, but God said, I need to change you. And when you change, you see that person different. But we're in a life today that everybody else needs to be changed. You say, not me, preacher. Come on, come on. We're just kin folks, amen. I mean, we're at home. Don't tell me. Just about every problem we face, we think everybody else, other people want to be changed. And sometimes God is wanting to change us to get us to a point to see things different. And hopefully that person would be the same. Because if everybody would see themselves and change like God wants to do, we'd have harmony. Amen. Homes and everything else have harmony. But what happens, it gets out of kilter. So two quick points, understanding the inner man. Number one is this, watch, and this goes back a little bit to what Brother Money has been teaching. The story of the Passover to some degree to the Jews in Exodus 12 is the gospel of Jesus Christ in His primitive form. Now, and I say that because everything God set up in the tabernacle and the temple is the good news to Israel that God has prepared a way for their sin. Though it's pointing to Jesus Christ. Did you know every Jew who gave the correct sin and put it the proper place of the blood, their sin was covered until Jesus should come. So in essence, that's the good news for a Jew who sins against God, is to not know any way to come back, and God set up that wonderful system so that if the right sacrifice is given, is put in the right place of blood, then God will forgive their sin because it's covered, but it can't take away their sin. Now, that's rerun a little bit, I know. But when it's dealing with sin, Passover is the season of a temporary deliverance and freedom to cover sin by the sacrifice of an innocent animal. Brother Man's doing a good job on that now, so I'm not going to get into this much. But the Passover is the story in Exodus 12 of God's deliverance until Jesus Christ comes and takes away the sin. It's deliverance of Israel, which is in slavery in Egypt. In Exodus 12, verse 5, just to rehearse, the lamb is to be unblemished, made a year old. In Exodus verse 6, that you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill that lamb at twilight and put the doorpost in verse 7, or put the blood on the doorpost in verse 7, and also on the lintel of the house which they eat. Now here, every Jew had a part of the killing of that sacrificial lamb, and it signified to them that all their guilt had been put on the lamb to die. Or their guilt was put to death on that lamb because they simply obey God. So the life in the blood makes atonement for sin through the sacrificial lamb. That blood could be slain any way that she claimed to get blood, for they cut the throat, I'm sure. But ladies, that blood had to be put on the right, at the right place for God to accept it. And you heard that in Sunday school class. You missed a lot if you're not here on Sunday morning. Because that blood has to be put at the right place for God to accept it. When it was, God accepted those individuals and the nation as a whole. When the once a year went into the temple and to the holy place, and in turn, God forgave their sin by rolling it onto Calvary till Jesus should come. And in that sense, He forgives them their sin. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses said, "The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like unto him himself from among you, from your countrymen. You should listen to him when he comes." And by the way, if they had listened to him, we'd have been a lot better off today. We'd been better off. But instead of listening, they listened to the religious leaders, and in turn went against God. And God set them aside as he opened up the age of grace. So in the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb at least 29 times. Our faith in Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Judaism in the sense of believing the record of God gave his son, which he gave it all the way through the Old Testament. We come along. The Jews did not believe he was who he was, but thank God he set the nation aside, but the individual Jew who would come like the Gentile could be saved and put into the family of God. And so in our particular day, we're glad to know we have something better than the Jews had, but what the Jews had was the best until God could get the best, the better, until the time that Jesus Christ should come. So I'm looking at this inner man teaching me things as I study and hide the Word of God in my heart, which the Bible says are not sinned against, and when that happens. Passover is a shadow pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ, our deliverer. In one sense, hear me, Christianity is a fulfillment of Judaism, which started in types and shadows till Jesus should come. But we don't celebrate the Passover in the age of grace. We celebrate what we call communion. Jesus gives that to us. Communion comes out of Jerusalem and Jewish worship. We're not obliged to celebrate Passover, but our Christian faith is connected to the experience. God gives us more than a cover of sin. Because if our sin is still covered in the New Testament system, like the Old Testament, we better be looking for the Messiah to come. Because he's the only one who can take away sin. I've got news for you. He's come. He went to Calvary. He died. He paid the sin debt so that we could go free. And that's what the inner man rehearses in my heart once I go through the door of salvation. God has raised up a new creation inside this old clay, body of clay that's been made to house in. You remember when he made man from the dust of the ground? He formed him from the dust of the ground, blew into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. His spirit was alive until he died. It died in Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. We were born with our spirit dead, even though we're in a body that he gave us to house in, and this body's going back to the dust one of these days soon as God gives us his plan and his purpose at this time. Jesus Christ became the substitute for our sin, but as the Passover lamb was the substitute for Israel's sin. Listen again. Passover was good news for sin to Israel. Did you know that? They would not have been delivered out of Egypt had not been for the Passover. Why? What took place in the Passover was the giving of the sacrificial lamb. Blood was applied that they could go free. Life of the flesh is in the blood. And God gave that on the altar in turn, that those who would believe and obey him to do what he even set up the system that they could use for the priests and so forth to do it, then their sin would be covered until they get to down to Jesus Christ should come. And thank God he came just about a little over 2,000 years ago. When our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, ladies and gentlemen, it means that his blood does not just cover our sin, but that that we will not be judged for our sin because he paid the price and took it all away. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's what the inner man bears witness with our heart. That's why we cry out, Abba, Father. That's why we come to, isn't it amazing that Jesus said when we pray our Father, which are in heaven, included himself. When he prayed by privately, he said, my Father. But then he teaches the example to pray. Why? God of this universe, think with me. God of this universe, through Jesus Christ becomes my, our Father. What an amazing thing. Thank you, my brother. It's an amazing thing. I'm afraid in this life we're missing some wonderful truths that God wants us to know. And they're there, but we just don't get to the place of getting them. When our names are written in that, he took it away. To some degree, Moses was kind of like in shadow form to Israel. To some degree, the foundation of our salvation experience was in the Passover story. As Gentiles, we have been grafted in through the new birth. In Romans 11, verse 17, 19, 23, and 24, God said the Gentiles have been like a wild tree cut off, like you crap and prune orchards, and therefore been grafted into the tree of Israel. In essence, though, Israel has to come through the door in the age of grace, just like I do. That is an individual Jew. Has to. God is still dealing with Israel in his own way. So I say to you that the Passover is the gospel of Jesus Christ in primitive form until Jesus could come and take the sin away. So therefore, I don't have to worry about keeping Passover, but I do enjoy keeping communion. Why? For God the Son told us to do that before he left. Two ordinances he gave to the church, and that is communion. Now, since I understand the thing about Passover and understand about Jesus coming, and though he did come 2,000 years ago, the second thing I want to look at quickly is simply this. The inner man now deals with the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I laid the premises in the first few verses and ended up talking about Paul in Ephesians 3 about the inner man. It's this inner man that literally deals with the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, he talks about man has all this knowledge that God has given us, but he's suppressed it. As long as humanism and men of this world and people of this world suppress the word of God, they'll never see who Jesus Christ is. Because he's the first avenue to understand who he is. And I believe with all my heart to get in this book, they'd see that. In John 1 through 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, he talks about that, you know, again, is the word, and word was with God, and where God was God, and so forth. In verse 14, he said that word was given to us in flesh, and we know he died. That was talking about Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, he said the natural man receiving not the things of God because they're foolish unto him. And then in 1 John 5:1 through 5 tells us we have victory in this man, and this new man inside gives us that victory. Now, deep down inside, everybody knows that there is a God, a supreme being, a divine intelligence. I believe that. I believe there's something that gives a person a look and say, this is too fantastic to just have to happen. That's Walt Disney stuff. What God has done is a miracle, and therefore there's got to be an intelligent supreme being somewhere or another. And since man don't know who he is and they understand what God means, across the planet Earth, there's many, many gods to different people who perform their God thinking in their own mind. When sin is only covered, hear me closely. You say, why wouldn't it be just as good if God covered sin? Can I say something? You will listen carefully to this. This is very intelligent. When sin is covered only, it might become uncovered down the road somewhere or another. Aren't you glad you came this morning? So if sin is only covered, it might come uncovered. But when Jesus came, he didn't just cover it. It had already been covered. He lifted the curtain and paid the sin debt. And therefore now sets us free. He rose from the dead. That is, in life, he actually uncovered the sin, dealt with it, paid for it, and for those who would trust him, set him free. The light shineth in the darkness, as God puts it in the scriptures. And the darkness can never extinguish that light, because this light now is not burning in the tabernacle or temple in some symbolic form. It is the light that comes from the throne of God. And Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. If you're born again, you have a supernatural life that cannot be conquered by anything else unless you let it. Why? You and I have God's Spirit living in us, that is, where darkness can never put out, and quote Romans 1:18 and through 20, knowing that God exists, don't suppress him, but ask God, the Holy Spirit, that lives in us who are saved to reveal who our Heavenly Father is. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When he was here, that is, Jesus is exactly a replica of God the Father as you see him in the flesh. So God the Son died to bring you and me into a relationship with God the Father so that our sin will not separate us from him. Now the question is, how does the Holy Spirit reveal the Trinity, three persons being one? And I thought about that, but I'm dealing with a message now, so I'm going to pick that up later in a later message. Because there are three persons in the Godhead. It is referred to our theologian as the Trinity, and they are three distinct personalities, yet all three are one. All right, we move on. So understanding that each one of these has something to do with this wonderful plan. Been born again. The Holy Spirit reveals the Trinity, but God reveals himself through creation when his knowledge is not suppressed. And being born again is not a right-wing radical belief. It's a supernatural birth of God's Spirit in our spirit by making us alive unto the Lord to see things we never seen before. This is how God changes us from within and removes our sin in order to make us one with him. Salvation is a one-time thing, but sanctification, if you've been here the last few weeks on Wednesday night, you understand this. Salvation is a position of a one-time thing, but sanctification is a continuing process that God gets us on. We're constantly changing as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that in turn is the inner man working through us in this flesh to bring us in subjection to the things that God says. And in turn, we're not debtors to the flesh, Paul says. We're debtors to the one who loved us so much and died for us that we can only see through eyes of faith. So being born again is not that radical thing that people look at. And are they? This is how God changes us from within. You see, the Holy Spirit introduces us to Jesus Christ through the gospel. Then Jesus introduces us to the born-again child of God, to God the Father. And one day, he's going to collectively, in the rapture of the church, take the whole bride, he calls in Revelation 19, and we're going to be taken by our groom, by the one we love that we've never seen until we get to heaven. One day the rapture is going to take place, and God's going to usher us, and Jesus is going to usher us in to God the Father as he sat down on the throne he deserved and introduced the bride, according to Revelation, to God the Father. What a wonderful thing, folks. So I just can't see that. Let the inner man begin to reveal by this book. I read a lot of books, but I don't let anything write over this book. I go back this for all the source. And there may be a lot of things I miss and I have to get account for one day, but I believe there's a lot of things I would get right because this is the source. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us out in what we do in this life. So if you are not born again, what is keeping one from being born again? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, God protects us from discouragement by his mercy and his grace and not by our marital resources. Nothing we have in us can get saved. We can't save ourselves. And once we're saved, we can't stay saved ourselves. We can't do nothing. There's nothing that's buried and in this flesh or resource. We have to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us that. And that encouragement comes from what has happened between the outward man and the inward man, or as Paul said, the inner man that's growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. The outward man, the physical person, can be observed by human sight. The world sees us when we go in that world. But the attention is generally among the unredeemed that can see that and not see who God is. But it's also possible that some believers who walk according to the flesh and not according to God's Spirit may act like the world, and in turn, that's where God's name could be shamed in people's lives. It don't matter. It don't matter to me if it's shame. Don't tell me if you're saved. It matters. It matters. Because the shame, the last thing in this world any Christian want to do is do something to shame God's name. I'll tell you that. That's a good sign that God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us when that happens, or is trying to happen in our life. So again, by believers who walk according to the flesh and not according to God's Spirit sometimes, the Bible refers to them sometimes as a carnal Christian. But man began from dust. That's where we are, Genesis 2:7. God formed man from dust of the ground. And he blew into the breath of life. But due to sin, the outer physical man is headed back towards the initial starting point. Tell me where the initial starting point is. Dust. How do I know that? All I got to do is read Genesis 3:19. This is discouraging fact for the unsaved. The unsaved looks like I'd make my life better, and somehow or another, if there's anything after this, maybe I'll make it. Well, I'm glad we don't have a maybe so, hope so, get over there on the other side. God says we can know right now when we're born. Why? The Holy Spirit who saves and bears witness with our heart, and it takes the same word of God that helps us know we're saved to bear witness to our heart that we are saved. And that's the reason the inner man has to be constantly fed and studied under those circumstances in life. I mean, the unsaved, they strive desperately to prevent the process of physical life, and that inner that is death, and they know that, and so they come up with all other ideas way out. You don't even come back as something else in space, or may come back here as an animal of some kind. You know, there's just so many things. I'm glad God wrote a book. I'm just glad that, and he kept it intact. On the other hand, the child of God does not lose heart. And I close with a thought. Why is it the child of God will not lose heart? We see a bigger picture with eyes of faith. They think we're all for racking and no-no in the land. But our spiritual world is not like theirs. In their spiritual world, they have Casper the ghost. In our spiritual world, we have the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. Which one had you rather follow? First of all, Casper's not even real. But I don't know this. The Holy Spirit is. He's a person. Even though our outer man is perishing, yet the inward man, according to 2 Corinthians 4:16, is being renewed day by day. Yes, our outer man is deteriorating, yet we are still encouraged because our inner man can be in the process of renewing while the outer man is deteriorating. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Let me stop there just a few minutes. I don't know here if my birthday coming up at the church, and Barbara and I go back, and when we're talking about this day, she's talking about, boy, what'd be good to be 26, 27 years old again. I don't have too much criticism looking at pictures at between 20 and 30 years old. Maybe my hair could be a little different. But I'm going to tell you something. At 78 years old, I look in the mirror, I don't know who that fella is. Do you? I don't know who it is. And God is, I've been saved 58 years. And God is saying that through the years that this book's where he's at, the inner man, that God is rebuilding him up and hoping on more and more and more that I can do something for God's kingdom in this life, in turn stand before him one day, not ashamed. But that old body's been going the other way. It's deteriorating, deteriorating, deteriorating. Hey, I didn't used to have this when I was 27 year old. I didn't have 7 apps, but I had a couple. Gravitation is pulled down now. I didn't used to have these. I didn't used to have, say, what'd you say? All of that comes because of this body. Amen, it's dying. Aren't you glad Paul said, listen, this body is deteriorating, but I want you to know if you're born into the family of God, there's an inner man in you that's reproducing himself all the time till you get home. It's called sanctification. Set it apart, son. Because he gave you a book. He gave you the Holy Spirit to live in you. And you come to this book and pray over it. God, please help me. We have Colossians 3:10, we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. As God's children, we seek our Lord in his precious word. It is here that we have been changed as we become more and more in the newness of Jesus Christ. As we look into God's word, which is a mirror, James said, that God can use to transform us inwardly so he can conform us outwardly, that people can see who we are if he's manifesting himself through us like he wants to. And he goes on, as God's children, we seek our Lord in his word. It is here that we become more and more the news of Christ. Today, Jesus Christ is the most famous Jew of all time. Most Jews, though, remember him as a so-called Christian with a cross rather than a halo. Some feel that he was more of a Pharisee than a son of God. Today, though, many educate themselves to become fools spiritually by suppressing the truth of God in unrighteousness. And Romans 1, 17 and 18 tells us that. He holds down the truth of God that God has given us. He makes little, he flaps at, he mocks the word of God that God has given. And by the way, this is the only thing you can hide in your heart, which is the inner man that will help us see who God is and keep us from sin. This flesh cannot keep us from sin. But the Holy Spirit living in us can do just that. And so when I look, I see the inner man. Hear me closely. The inner man perceives God by faith. Then the inner man pleases God by faith. When the inner man takes the body in the sense to live for the Lord, we find that we perceive God by faith. We want to please God by faith. And because we are saved, we pursue God by faith. So understanding who the inner man is in Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 19, helps me understand some things, because he said again that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit, it simply says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not born again. If you do have the Spirit of God, you have access to what is needed, that inner man, the new creation in Christ Jesus, putting off and putting on, old man putting on the new, that's in there, is that which God says that Christ dwelt in your hearts by faith, that ye been rooted and grounded in love. Go back to Romans 8 with me, if you will, verse 11, and the last verse I'm going to read. Paul says again in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, that the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He's talking about the one who exercised by faith. If thou shalt confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart, God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say confess from the mouth, you'll be saved. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it took the resurrection to confirm that who Jesus was, that even after death, he could handle things. And he said, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is the inner man that Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That came in today, he got saved. Now, leave the thought. If you've been born again, you may not have grown much, but if you've been born again, it's a one-time transaction. Just like physical birth is a one-time transaction. But the setting apart, we study in three stages of Wednesday night. Setting apart is a continuous process until God gets us home. When we draw our last breath in this body of flesh, and this body goes back to the dust which God made it from, then we will be at the point to give a glorified body match up with us. And in heaven, there's going to be some degrees there. God talks about giving rewards and things like that. So the growth here is how much we put off the old man, put on the new. As I said the other day, you can't put clothes on and on, not take any off. After a while, you can't even move. What God is telling us, that there's an inner man. Understand the inner man. Who is he? Is that new creation that God so wonderfully planned from the foundation of the world that we could live 6,000 years later and know, listen to me, folks, know who he is without a shadow of doubt, and know who Jesus Christ is without a shadow of doubt, and know if you're saved, there's something in you is guiding you. There's times you thought, and you said, I shouldn't have thought that. There's times you didn't, I shouldn't have done that. The Holy Spirit of God is the only person that can be close enough to us living in us to bring to our mind and heart when something's not right or when something's wrong. And one thing is for sure, if you're saved, then not one here wouldn't say, the best thing that ever happened to me is the day I asked Christ to be my Savior. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for patience this morning. Thank you for this book. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for people who come, give their time to listen. Lord, they didn't come this morning to have an hour or been fleshly moved by music or other things. They came to the music to enhance the Word of God, the singing like this morning, like we have all of our services. The choir works so hard. The desire, oh Lord, is to put in the service that which in turn will set the table so the precious bread of God can be opened. Please let it not be boring. Holy Spirit, you live in us. Once the word of God is spoken, take it to that heart who has the Spirit and let it see if breathe bread from heaven. Help people to direct their lives by what they want, the will of God. Help someone to see the only thing that matters is God's will for my life. And then when they begin to apply it in life, they pick those things in turn that can enhance them. Be first of all the best child of God could be to him, and then enjoy the fruits of our labor he blesses us with. Lord God, you are a good God. If not, Elul's here right now, had been in hell already. And yet on the other hand, you save many who will trust you and still in the saving business. One of these days, before long, the last person will give their heart to Christ. And when it does, God knows where that is. And when it does, the trumpet's going to sound. The voice of God's going to be heard. And there's going to be a resurrection, a change in a resurrection of bodies that have died, and a change in those who are alive to meet the Lord in the air. But until that day comes, you teach us to occupy it. And it's not just the reason of church, Lord. The church is many different talents coming together, funding what God says to do the work. No one person can do a work like this. But thank you for those who are like faith and say, Lord, I want to be part of that. In turn, so I can be used for your glory. God, I thank you for where I'm at. I think of my home, my family, all of these. But God, that's not, even though I love them, there's nothing in the world like just being who you want me to be. When I come to you, help me see. Help me yield to that inner person. And if one here tonight doesn't know Christ as Savior, they don't have the inner person, because it takes the new birth. Jesus called it being born again. And he said to he that, brother, I said to he that hears the word, trusts in Christ, he that believeth in Jesus, he that says, Lord, as I may paraphrase, come into my heart, thou shalt be saved. For the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confession made to salvation. Have your way this morning, Lord. Honor the word, because we tried our best to give it in an humble way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.